And now we have with us Ida Zelaya and Carol Krenowitz on Your Health. Good morning, ladies. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, David.
Hi, welcome, David. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to It's Your Health Radio Show. This is Ida Zelaya of Sensory Street sitting in for the absolutely wonderful Lisa Davis. And today, as David mentioned, we'll be talking with Carol Krenowitz about sensory processing disorder and much more. Carol is the author of the very popular Out of Sync Child, Recognizing and Coping with Sensory Processing Disorder, and its adorable sequel, Out of Sync Child Has Fun, Activities for Kids with Sensory Processing Disorder. This is a favorite of mine. What's really wonderful is I just looked at the Out of Sync Child cover, and I noticed that on it, it says that the Out of Sync Child has become the parent's Bible to sensory processing disorder. So everyone write that title down, Out of Sync Child. Through these and many of her other titles, her DVDs and her workshops, Carol lovingly explains to parents, educators, and professionals just how sensory issues play out and provides fun and functional techniques for addressing these issues at home and at school. Carol went a step further to create the preschool sensory scan for educators, a great tool for OTs to use with early childhood teachers to help identify these sensory issues in our littlest preschoolers, and to reach out to the broader SPD community. Carol signed on as the editor-in-chief of SI Focus magazine, the first magazine to focus on sensory integration and processing, and it's published by an amazing woman named Kathleen Morris. It's filled with success stories, therapy techniques, and clinical breakthroughs, and it's a gem. The website for that is www.sifocus.com. Oh, gosh, Carol, there's so much more. Your dedication to the kids shows in your work on the boards that you participate in with SPD Foundation, Developmental Delay Resources, and St. Columbia's University, where you started out with your journey on SPD. And now, that's not enough. You're co-authoring a new book called Growing an InSync Child, which is to be published next year. And you know that I'm going to be the first one to buy it.
Oh, that's wonderful, Ida.
So, Kat, from my heart to yours, it's just a pleasure having some time with you today on air.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here and with our listeners, too. So, you probably want to know how I got into SPD, because it's an unlikely journey.
Mm-hmm.
I was a mom, and my two typically developing children were going to a wonderful preschool in Washington called St. Columba. And
I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's a common common error. St. Columba's. And so one day I asked the director if she needed a movement teacher, and she said, "Yes, you're hired." And I said, "But I don't have any training. I'm ignorant about child development. I just like to move." And she said, "Oh, well, you'll learn on the job." So that was back in the 70s. And I started building obstacle courses and singing songs and playing rhythm band activities and acting out fairy tales with the children. And I noticed that there were some children who I considered to be out of sync. So right now I think I was blessed with ignorance, because I kept asking questions, and nobody understood why one child would refuse to take his shoes off on a warm spring day when it was barefoot day, or why another child would come into the music room and pick up the basket of rhythm band instruments and dump them out on the floor and walk through them, or why I would strum the guitar and a child would clap his hands over his ears and cower in the corner. I took it personally when I was a new teacher. I thought I was being a bad teacher. I couldn't understand why I would go up to a child who was weeping because he had a tiny splinter or something, and I would offer solace, and the child would push me away or scream at me or howl in despair. I mean, I felt rejected and incompetent and helpless. And so I really wanted to do something better. And then after 10 years of wondering all these questions, an occupational therapist came to St. Columbus to do a workshop with the teachers on sensory integration, or sensory processing, as we're calling it now. And it blew me away, because I understood. She made the patterns available to me. I began to see that the child who complains about the sand between his toes and the irritation of the label in the T-shirt and the lump in the chunky peanut butter was exhibiting characteristics of what we call tactile over-responsivity. Mm-hmm. I began to see that there are some children who respond to touch and movement, which are very important senses, in ways that are not typical, and it affects their behavior, their social interactions, their learning, their feelings about themselves, their communication. And when I put on my sensory goggles, which is a term that Lori Ranke, a wonderful SI mom, has come up with, I began to understand two things, and I would like our listeners to understand this too. The senses have a few main jobs, and one of the most important job is to give us information to help us survive. And then when we feel that we are surviving, okay, that sound in the environment is not going to kill us. That touch, that light, unexpected touch on our shoulder comes from a teacher or a friend or a mom. It's not going to make us die. When we are able to understand through our senses how to use sensations to survive, and we feel safe, then we can use our senses to give us information so we can discriminate what's going on around us and we can learn. But we cannot learn, no sir, if we do not feel safe.
Absolutely.
So I learned about what these underlying issues that children are many kids have a developmental problem in getting their sensory systems working smoothly, so the information comes in and they can interpret it and integrate it and discriminate it and modulate it, and their host of different processes, and then they can get on with the joy of being a child in their learning in their environment, and not trying to survive all the time. So I learned that, wanted to read more. There wasn't anything to read except a book by Jean Ayers, who developed the theory of sensory integration, and that was a little hard going. So I started to write a book for teachers and parents, and that's the long answer to how I got into this.
No, it's perfect, because it just shows that you learn on the job.
Yes.
You know, you learned on the job, parents learn on the job. You know, and all of those people out there that claim that sensory processing issues is really a behavior issue, you know, have some things to learn. I like to carry a copy of or two of your book around to share with people who think that our sensory kids, who really are not safe in their bodies as far as they're concerned right now, these parents or other people need to know that our children react differently than other children, because there are other things going on under the hood, and they're not bad kids, and their parents are their parents are definitely not bad parents.
Definitely.
You know, the spinning that my son did when he was four, before we got the AHA book known as Out of Sync Child, he didn't mind it. He enjoyed his spinning. It made him feel free, and then he crashed on the ground, which he just loved that hard sensation. Remember, my son is the one at two who fell down the stairs and crashed on the concrete and got up and rubbed his cheek and went on to play. So my child is the opposite of the sensitive ones that you were describing. And, you know, people would look at me when he was spinning and crashing and bumping into other kids like I had a problem. And I said, I have no problem. I'm watching a child feel free. And to me, that's a joy and a gift, and I grow from that. We're not bad mommies. Right, Carol?
Right. You are definitely not right. Mm-hmm. And you've just brought up a few things I want to mention, Ida.
Sure.
That many children are over-responsive to sensations, and they shut down. The world is too much with them, and they want to avoid sensations such as touch or movement that make them uncomfortable. But then the other side of the coin is many children are under-responsive or seekers, and they're the ones who want more, more, more. And like your little one, he wanted to get input into his sense of movement and balance, and into his muscles and joints and skin, and that was why he was bumping and crashing, and probably everything was a ladder for him.
Mm-hmm.
Always exploring his environment, wanting more and more. So. Well, I think what parents, a couple of things, what I'd like parents to think about is put on those sensory goggles, look at their kids' behavior and ask themselves, is there possibly an underlying problem with how this child is processing sensations? Is he trying to get away from ordinary sensations that most children find okay or pleasurable?
Right.
And that is a red flag. Is that child trying to get more that other kids are satisfied with enough, but this particular child needs more spinning or louder noise on the radio, or if there isn't enough noise, he'll make noise himself. Ask yourself, what's going on here that could have a sensory underpinning? When you think that a problem might be getting in a kid's way, there are a couple of criteria that we used to use at St. Columbus Nursery School, and one of them was, is this problem getting in the child's way? Is this child so tentative and withdrawn and distressed and fearful that he's not participating in school or family life? Is it getting in his way? Then it's time to seek professional help, because help is available, which I'll get to in a second.
Great.
The second criterion is, if this problem is not getting in the child's way, but it's getting in everybody else's way, like your little boy.
Like mine.
Yeah. Yeah, where you were looking at him and where you were getting raised eyebrows because his behavior was not typical. It wasn't getting in your way because you understood, but maybe it was getting in the teacher's way or the neighbor's way or the other kid's way. Then also it's a good idea to get some therapy. And the therapy that I think our listeners might have tuned in to hear Lucy Jane Miller do her wonderful interview, the best therapy that Lucy does and others professionals do is occupational therapy using sensory integration techniques, which look at the child's inner drive. Is this child yearning for more movement? Mm-hmm. Okay, the therapist finds a way to provide it in appropriate ways that are safe and useful and nourishing. We use the word diet, sensory diet, mm-hmm. to talk about physical experiences that nourish the neurological system. I mean, just as we need whole grains and fruits and vegetables for a healthy diet, we need movement. If we sit in front of a TV all day long, we're depriving our brains of the nourishment that they need. And we do that altogether too much in our American society. It's criminal, I think, in a lot of ways.
It is. It truly is. You know, just to interject, I went to a middle school meeting because Jacob is moving up to middle school next fall.
Yay, Jacob.
Yay, he's so awesome. Well, what's interesting is that at 1:40, they have 15 minutes of recess. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't know how difficult it was, Carol, because you and I are on that same wavelength. You don't know how difficult it was for me to keep my hand down and say, is that really all the movement they get in a day? Well, you know well as I that I'll try to help them out with that schedule a little bit, but I do respect the need for academics, but without movement, learning just doesn't happen.
Movement is learning. I absolutely agree with you. Well, I agree with everything you say.
Oh, you are just so cute, Carol.
Yes, movement is learning. And you mentioned the book that I've just written with Joy Newman, who is a perceptual motor therapist here in,
yes.
I'm in Maryland. And Growing an InSync Child is all about raising parents' awareness of what they know in their heart, which is that children are happier when they're moving and they're learning when they're moving. Here's what I want parents to do. I want them to be detectives and write things down when they see behavior from their children that they think is unusual. Kids should not want to sit still. I mean, after playing nine innings of baseball, okay, it's a good idea to sit still, but children should be active. Active participation in the environment is what nature has designed us to look for and to be satisfied by. We should be active all the time. In ancient times, our ancestors moved in order to find food,
mm-hmm.
and to build shelters and to provide for their own survival and safety and regeneration. And today we're revising and redesigning the way our bodies are structured. I am appalled by how many children spend how many hours in front of glowing screens. The human eye, the baby's eye, is very round. Here's just one example, mm-hmm. and I'll quickly say the round baby's eye does best by looking at three-dimensional events. So the peripheral vision develops, and the ability to look at something at the horizon and then back up close. So far point and near point and far point and near point. That focusing is absolutely crucial. Mm-hmm. Movement by being on your tummy and pushing up on your little hands and moving your head and shoulders all around is absolutely essential for crawling, for walking, for reading, for being part of the world. And what we do is we park kids on their backs all day,
yeah.
and stick them in front of baby television, and it's it's not helpful. I know you need to take a break, so...
Oh, yes, just for one moment. I do need to read a station ID. This is Ida Zelaya. I'm sitting in for Lisa Davis. You're listening to It's Your Health on WUML Lowell 91.5 FM, broadcasting from the University of Massachusetts in Lowell. And we're talking about InSync, Out of Sync, with our wonderful guest, Carol Stock-Kranowitz, author of Out of Sync Child and now Growing an InSync Child. So, Carol, please do continue. I love it when you talk about movement and the importance of a three-dimensional sensory experience,
yeah.
not only for our little ones, but I think for our bigger ones, too.
Yes. Yes, and I really want listeners to use their good sense when they are thinking about ways to interact with their children and to provide experiences for their kids. The simplest things are best. I went to Disney World last fall with my partner and his four grandchildren, and I knew there were going to be long lines, and so I packed my purse with
yarn and string and latex-free stretchy therapy bands and things like that, fidgets. And every day, we were there a week, and every day I had something new in my bag. And I'd pull out a piece of string, and I would hand it to the children, and their first question was always, what's this for? What do I do with it? And I would shrug my shoulders and say, I don't know. Show me. And I will tell you that 30-minute waits in line evaporated to what seemed like a second, because the kids were doing all kinds of things with these bits and pieces. We teachers used to call this kind of thing beautiful junk. Because, so other people might toss it in the trash and we would retrieve it. You can do so many things with bubble wrap.
And
paper plates. Carol,
could you share with us the wonderful paper plate project you do with adults in your workshop?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, please.
Okay.
That may be one of the last things we get to talk about today.
Okay. Okay. I give everybody a couple of paper plates, and I do several things. One is I say to people, please make a noise with your paper plate. And so the room gets filled with all this cacophony, and people are scratching the edges like a guiro. They're clapping plates together. They're rolling them up and going toot, 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 like a kazoo. And then I divide the group into three, and I point to the first group, and I say, make a noise. And group two, add your noise. And group three, chime in. And then the whole room is just noisy, noisy, noisy. And then I go back to group one, and I say, now you be still. Group two, you be still. Group three. And the room is hushed perfectly. It takes a minute, and it's a wonderful idea for a teacher with a rowdy group to get quiet in the room. You're astonished by the silence. That's one thing I do. Then I say to everybody, okay, take a paper plate, draw a picture on it of an experience you had as a kid that you like to think about now that you're an adult. And they're busy for a minute. And then we share some of the ideas. And Ida, it's just amazing. What I would say 99% of people who are asked to do that assignment will draw an outdoor experience.
Bingo.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And their experience, as we talk about these experiences, they have to do with climbing trees and building fords in the creek and fishing with granddad and jumping on the new mown grass or the mound of leaves, or swinging, lots of swinging stories. And all of these are, almost all of them are outdoors, joyful, timeless. There's no clock on an experience that is memorable. And they are sensory rich. It's not just sitting there looking at a computer screen. It's out there, hands on, body on. And it's a big aha moment for a lot of people, because they think, well, why am I buying these educational videos where the computer has all the fun?
The video is outside.
Right. It's outside. It's giving children pieces of string and paper towel roll, cardboard rolls, and pebbles and rocks, and I want us to rejoice in what comes home in our kids' pockets, because that is the child's reaching out to be part of the environment and to make their bodies speak and interact.
And this is what growing an NSYNC child is all about.
Yes.
It's all about showing the parent that really it's okay. It's okay to let them outside, and it's okay to let them experience and lay on their backs and look at the clouds and eat healthful foods and have them feel good and clean and wonderful.
Yes.
And Carol, if this show was 2 hours, we could still fill it in a heartbeat.
I think so, Ida.
You are a wonderful, wonderful resource for us all, and I'm going to need to start winding down a little bit, but I want to wind down in a calm way so we have a very easy exit experience. There are some wonderful things that you're involved in and websites you wanted to share with the group, and one of them, again, is SI Focus Magazine. People can can sign up, and the fee is extremely reasonable for lots of great information.
Great.
It's sifocus.com, and everyone, please do visit spdfoundation.net for a lot of great information about disorder. And Future Horizons has a wonderful a sensory piece to their website now, and I want everybody to go visit. It's www.fhhsensory.com. That's fhsensory.com. Did you know that?
No,
Carol?
No, it's autism. It's fhautism.com.
Well, guess what? I pulled it up, and they have a new website just for
oh,
us.
No
Carol.
Kidding.
Yay.
Oh, how wonderful.
This is great.
Oh, my gosh, you're ahead of me.
Hey, you know, I'm working on it.
Oh, that's
anything
thank
else you. Anything else you wanted to mention before I've got to sign off?
Just a word of encouragement to everybody listening to be detectives, mm-hmm. get intervention for your child, if your child is 1 year old or 13 years old, there's help for everybody. We develop until the day we die, and so so intervention is always a wonderful idea. Follow your gut. If the teacher is saying, oh, it's nothing, or mm-hmm. if you're a teacher and the parent is saying, oh, I don't think it's a problem, keep pressing, because sometimes it takes a little while to hear that a child would benefit from some help. And then in the meantime, make opportunities every day to be using bodies and carrying laundry baskets upstairs and cartons of books down the hall to the library and walking the dog and washing the car, and just get into it, get real. And I think you're going to see joyfulness and stamina and self-esteem all increase.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
You're
thank
welcome.
You, thank you, thank you. Well, everyone, it's been a pleasure being here with Carol. Listen next week for the Alert Program, How Does Your Engine Run, with Mary Sue Williams and Sherry Schellenberger. You can download this show and all past shows at www.itsyourhealthradio.org. Be well and have a great week.